नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ओम 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 नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
Translation and commentary by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada.
Shamo damastapah shocham Santo shakshantirarjavam Jnanam dayachutatmatvam Satyam cha brahma lakshanam.
Translation. The symptoms of a brahmana are control of the mind, control of the senses, austerity and penance, cleanliness, satisfaction, forgiveness, simplicity, knowledge, mercy, truthfulness, and complete surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purport. In the institution of Varnashram Dharma, the symptoms of a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, and Sannyasi are all described. The ultimate aim is achutatmatvam, to think always of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna or Vishnu. To make advancement in Krishna consciousness, one has to become a brahmana with the above mentioned symptoms. This section of the Bhagavatam deals with the duties of persons within the Varnashram system. Anyone who is well acquainted with Srila Prabhupada's teachings knows that Srila Prabhupada, a major part of his teachings and his mission was the establishment of Varnashram. You may wonder why. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we find in his teachings, Eto Shabachari Arbanashram Dharma Nishkinchan Hoya Loi Krishnaikashara. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, giving up everything, including, and also Varnashram Dharma, one should be completely detached from this world and take shelter only in Krishna. And we find also in another part of Chaitanya Charitamrita, which is dedicated to teaching rather than describing philosophy, teaching Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings. In the discussion between Rai Ramananda and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when Rai Ramananda gave his first reply to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's asking him to describe sadhya sadhana tattva, the topics of the goal of life and how the means to attain it. So Ramananda Rai's first proposition in this regard was Varnashramacharavata Purushena Parapuman Vishnura Radhyate Panta Nanyatato Shakaranam. He quoted from Vishnu Purana that by acting within the Varnashram system and worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead, this is the path to worship Vishnu. There's no other path to satisfy him. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rejected this, eho badhya, this is external. So this is why, even though it's given in Shastra, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rejected. He said this is external, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to teach that Prem is the Purusharta. The ultimate goal of life is, for everyone, is Prem. It's a well-known word. There are many people in India whose name is Prem. Even the famous Muslim businessman has got that name. But specifically, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is teaching about Krishna Vishayak Prem. Prem in relationship to Krishna. Krishna Vishayak Prema Param Purusharta Jar Age Trina Tulla Chari Purusharta. The four goals of human life described in Shastra. Namely, Dharma. What does Dharma mean? Well, that's a 1,000-year study, and then you won't get to the end of it either, because it's unending. Dharma, Artha, money, wealth, karma, desire, material desire, and moksha, liberation. So these are the chaturvarga, the four goals of human life, according to Shastra. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that superior to all of these is Krishna Vishaya Prema. Prema with Krishna as the Vishaya. And then the Ashray becomes the devotee. Krishna is the subject, and the person who has that Prema is the devotee. And in comparison with Krishna Prema, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that these four goals of life, Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha, they are like some insignificant straw. That is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teaching. But we find here in Srimad Bhagavatam, which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also gave great importance to. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he included the hearing of Bhagavatam among the five principal activities of Krishna consciousness. Shadu Sangha Nama Kirtan Bhagavat Shravan Mathura Vas Shraddhai Sri Murtir Sevan. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that these five activities are most important. Sadhu Sangha, associating with devotees. Nama Kirtan, chanting the holy name. Hearing the Bhagavatam. Residing in Mathura. And faithfully worshipping the deity. And here in Bhagavatam is the description of Varnashram. We may say, well, it's only the 7th canto. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is interested in the 10th canto. All the Krishna prems in the 10th canto. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also cited from other parts of the Bhagavatam, and we learn from Chaitanya Bhagavat that he repeatedly heard the narrations in Bhagavatam of Dhruva Maharaj and Prahlad Maharaj, as Prahlad describes in the 7th canto, from the mouth of Gadadhar Pandit on the seashore at Puri. So, Varnashram is external inasmuch as it is an arrangement for this material world, but it's not wholly discarded. Many of the instructions that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave were in relation to this material world for devotees. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed Sanatana Goswami to compile a textbook of Vaishnava directions. That was published as published, means how many copies were printed. Sanatan Gopal Bhatta Goswami and Sanatan Goswami made the book, and then Jiva Goswami edited it, and it is as we have it in printed form nowadays. But anyway, Sanatan Goswami brought that out, but we find that in the In the instructions which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave, which were eventually collected in that book, he gave such items as danta dhavana, which means cleaning the teeth, as part of the instructions to be given to devotees. So it's not that the whole, it's not that material existence is totally forgotten. That is possible if one comes to that stage. Nishkinchan haya loy krishnaika sharan. One who is completely sheltered, he takes shelter only of Krishna, then he may forget to clean his teeth, but then he'd also forget to eat and sleep. One who's on that platform, he doesn't have need for varnashram dham. Then he becomes a vairagi, a renunciant of this world. But we find also in the instructions given by Rupa Goswami, also on the order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Rupa Goswami states that one should not be neglectful in ordinary dealings. For instance, in the modern context, if a tap is running or a light is on and there's no one utilizing it, then you can turn it off. Turn off the tap, switch off the light. We may think, well, I have to chant Hare Krishna. I can't waste my time with material things. But as long as we're in this world, we have to utilize everything in Krishna's service. And the idea that we won't utilize everything, I'll just be renounced, that is deprecated by Rupa Goswami as Falgu Vairagya. That not seeing the relationship with Hari. What is that verse? Prapancha kataya bhudya Hari sambandhi vastuna. Mumukshubi parityago vairagyam falgu katyate. Someone who thinks, I'm just giving everything up. I have nothing to do with this world. Yeah, give up your cell phone, first thing. That's a good idea. Can be used in Krishna's service. One who just thinks, now I'm rejecting everything. Not seeing the relationship of everything with Krishna, that is called Falgu Vairagya, or meaningless, stupid Vairagya. So a devotee lives in this world to serve Krishna. And the social system which Krishna has given is varnashram. And we may say, yeah, okay, it's nice sitting in an ashram sitting in a temple talking about these things, but it has no relationship to the modern world, because in the modern world, we don't have varnashram, we have democracy. And we have special quotas to keep the Brahmins out of the colleges. And what's all this varnashram? What's the meaning? What's the meaning? It's just something out of the past. There's still some people who think themselves Brahmins, but it's not very meaningful. So, yeah, it's not very meaningful to the modern world, but Srila Prabhupada had a program to change the modern world and to restore varnashram. Now, that doesn't mean the caste system, but that means on quality, as we'll find at the end of this, there's this whole long section in Bhagavatam describing the behavior within the four varnas and the four ashrams, plus that of women. And then referring to the four varnas, Narada Muni, who's giving this description, gives the important statement, yasya yal lakshanam proktam pungso varna varnabhi vyanjakam yad anyatrapi drishyeta tatteneer daiva nischa. He states that although generally these symptoms are associated with people according to birth, that's the understanding, if these symptoms are seen in others, they should tatteneer daiva, that should be understood to pertain to them also. In other words, if someone is born of Shudra parents but has the symptoms of a Brahmin, should be accepted as a Brahmin. And vice versa. Those terms are there also in Bhagavatam. Brahma Bandhu, Kshatra Bandhu, one who is born in a family of Brahmanas or born in a family of Kshatriyas but does not have the qualities of such person. So Srila Prabhupada wanted to establish Daiva Varnashram Dharma, godly, as opposed to the Asura Varnashram, in which prestige is claimed simply on the basis of birth. But Srila Prabhupada wanted to establish, first of all, actual Brahmanas. Actual Brahmana should have the qualities. Yasya yal lakshanam proktam. According to these qualities which I have spoken, Narada. So the qualities here, list is given in Bhagavad Gita, similar, almost the same list is given. In different parts of Shastra we'll find different lists given. In the Mahabharata there's a list of 12 qualities of a Brahmana. The most important quality is here stated in the purport. Srila Prabhupada says that the most important quality is for all the varnas and all the ashrams is achyutatmatvam, to always think of Krishna. So that's the ultimate goal of varnashram. And someone who is a Vaishnava is in that sense automatically a Brahmana. Because a Brahmana is meant to cultivate spiritual qualities to ultimately come to the understanding that I am the eternal servant of Krishna. Brahmajana Atiti Brahmana. One who knows Brahma. Brahma means the ultimate spiritual reality. It also means the Vedas. The one who knows that is called a Brahmana. So a Vaishnava, he knows Krishna is Param Brahma. He knows that all the Vedas are meant to point to Krishna. Vaidaishcha sarve aham eva vedyah. So a Vaishnava is automatically a Brahmana. So to call a Vaishnava a Brahmana is not to give him some extra prestige, but rather if someone who's on the external platform, they think they don't care much about Vaishnavas, but they think Brahmana is a very high platform. So if they see, oh, this Vaishnava, he's a Brahmana, oh, very good, very high. So then they'll give respect. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, to demonstrate the principle that Vaishnavas are certainly at least Brahmanas, he gave this Brahminical initiation to persons not born in Brahmana families, to demonstrate that principle. Vaishnava means he's fully in all knowledge, perfectly situated. Brahmana means he's on the way. He's doing better than others. Brahmanatva, the situation of being a Brahmana, is like having 1 rupee in your pocket. And being a Vaishnava is like having a crore of rupees. So the 1 rupee is included in a crore of rupees. So it's no great credit to a Vaishnava to be called a Brahmana. In fact, this Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said, Eto Shabachari Arvanashram Dharma Niskinchan Hoya Loi Krishna Kasharan, that Nirvanashram, just forget it. Become detached and take shelter fully of Krishna. So, traditionally, those who become Niskinchan in the Gauriya Sampradaya, those they become Vairagis, they become renunciants, if they're from a caste family, Brahmana, Vaishya, Brahmana, Kshatriya, or Vaishya, and have a thread on their body, when they accept the position of renunciation, they give up that thread as being external. Now I'm not taking shelter of any mundane principles, I'm taking shelter of Krishna. So they throw that out. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he wanted to show that for mundane people, they think Brahmana is very high. So he wanted to show that Vaishnava is not less than that. And on that basis, he gave the status, or he formalized the status of a Brahmana for those who were initiated by him. This was also in accord with Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's direction to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur to re-establish Varnashram Dharma. Srila Prabhupada, he took this further, or at least he spoke of taking this a lot further to actually establish four varnas, four ashrams, and he wanted within society. And he wanted to establish an actual Brahmana class with all these qualities, very learned in Shastra, very detached, ideal behavior, ideal character, and natural spiritual leaders who everyone will automatically, at least pious people, will automatically recognize that these are saintly people and accept their spiritual leadership. So, just as we say that simply by putting a thread on someone because they're born in a family which claims themselves to be Brahmanas, simply by putting a thread on their shoulder doesn't make them a Brahmana. But it's true also. If someone is superficially in Krishna consciousness, but they're not, they haven't, if someone hasn't understood the principle that the position of a Brahmana is not something very desirable, it's not some position of prestige. If someone hasn't understood that and they want to be a Brahmana so as to think themselves superior to others, they're not at all fit to be initiated. So, Srila Prabhupada's idea of establishing a Brahmana class, it can't happen as long as we go on with this this fashion or within our society, ISKCON, of people, they come, they get initiated, and we hope they're chanting 16 rounds, more or less following four regulations, more or less vegetarian, and won't ask too much about all the principles. And a few months after that, okay, they've been hanging around long enough, put a thread on their shoulder. So this is not going to make the class of Brahmanas who can be actual spiritual leaders. In the verse previous to this, or the series of verses previous to this, Narad Muni says, engaging in the service of low-grade persons is called Shvavriti, the profession of the dogs. Specifically, Brahmanas and Kshatriyas should not engage in the low and abominable service of Shudras. So, it's quite common, we see here in South India, people, they're very proud of being born in a Brahmana family, and they're very proud also of working for a multinational corporation. If they're working in a multinational corporation, is that the low and abominable service of Shudras? No, because the people in the multinational corporation, those who own them, whoever they may be, wherever they may be, they're much lower than Shudras. At least within the Varnashram system, Shudras have some kinds of culture and principles, but The people that they're working for are beef eaters and wine drinkers and complete cheaters and exploiters and the worst people. And to be proud of working for such people demonstrates that the Shastra is correct. That in Kali Yuga, the so-called Brahmanas will be completely confused and fallen from their principles. So Srila Prabhupada wanted to make an actual class of Brahmanas. That means detached from the world. It's very difficult and it's not for everyone. It's not easy in the best of times because a true Brahmana, they'll, how many in this country, in India, how many lakhs and lakhs of Brahmanas and even non-Brahmanas, they chose death rather than Islam? There are, you take the beef or you take the sword, and they'll just take the sword, that's all. They're not going to give up their principle. They wouldn't even drink water from an unknown source. They won't eat food unless it's cooked by themselves. Shvapaki. There's shvapaki, which means one who cooks dogs. And there's svapaki, which means one who will only eat food cooked by himself. So many brahmanas, they were like that. Srila Prabhupada described that he used to see, even at that time, that so many brahmanas, they'd be working in a company in Calcutta, but at lunchtime they'd come out and cook for themselves. Everyone they'd cook for themselves. They didn't have a joint mess. And then gradually they had brahmana messes in these cities, and then you have your Iyengar's bakery and all this kind of thing. And nowadays, so-called brahmanas, they'll eat anything anywhere, maybe vegetarian. They don't check on the packet carefully to see. And they'll eat here and there. So, the whole idea that brahmanas should be of impeccable character, they'd rather die than lose their principles. That's gone. Where are such people? Such people Srila Prabhupada wanted to create. Not that Brahmana means some, okay, I got a thread on my shoulder, and that's as far as it goes. What is that? Sutratvam lingam eva hi. That is the symptom, one of the symptoms of Kali Yuga mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam. That one will be known as a Brahmana simply by having a thread on his shoulder. How do you know that person's a Brahmana? Oh, he's got a thread. Okay, he's a Brahmana. And that's all. But the symptoms are given. We don't find the symptoms given in Shastra, the primary symptoms. We don't find. It's shamo damas tapasho cham, not sutram. Sutram means a thread. It's not the principal symptom. That, of course, is there, but the principal symptom is these difficult qualities. Peacefulness, which comes about from from not cultivating material desires. It's very difficult in the modern age. The whole modern age is simply promoting material desire. Shocham, we don't even know what this word means. It's translated as cleanliness. And no one in the modern idea has any idea of cleanliness according to the Brahminical standard. Tapa, just naturally inclined to a life of abnegation, of not wanting to indulge in such gratification. Of course, it's also said, Brahmana Modaka Priya. You don't know what the word Modaka means. It's the Modaka, the common North Indian word is Ladu. Or Brahmana Bhojana Priya. But that they're also controlled. I mean, Brahmanas, they don't eat more than twice a day. Traditional Brahmanas. That's it, strictly. No snacks in between. And many only once a day. And many fasts. So they are controlled in this matter. Arjavam, straightforwardness. Kshanti, lack of anger. Santur, these terms are all connected. It's not easy. It doesn't come simply by putting a thread on the shoulder. By advancement in Krishna consciousness, one is supposed to imbibe or be blessed with these qualities. One who's actually advancing in Krishna consciousness. So there's such a class of people is required to give spiritual leadership to the headless body that is society at the present time. It's a headless and very active, mad body. Completely mad. And just promoting modern society promotes everything that is against the best interest of everyone. Even materially, what to speak of spiritually, modern society promotes to eat all kinds of rubbish food, very bad lifestyle, even for physical health. And even to be materially happy, one should live peacefully with in a family, but in modern life, because they're promoting this lust so much that you can't live peacefully in a family, you have to jump out to next door neighbor's family and take their wife and daughter or whatever, and no one's peaceful. Because they're kamam ashrita dushpuram, they've taken karma, gross sense gratification, as the ultimate goal of life. But they can never be satisfied because dushpurana analena cha. It burns like fire. It is never satisfied. Anala, this word is given here in Bhagavad Gita, describing karma. Anala means a fire. That word is there. Alam means bas, enough. And anala means no enough. Never satisfied. So fire is like that. It's never satisfied. It'll always burn more and more. However much fuel you put, it won't say enough. It'll always be eager. So like that, lust is like a fire that burns. And the more fuel you supply, the more it burns. So like this, the heart is burning with lust. Hrit kama roga, this heart disease of lust. And that is the focus of modern life. So one has to learn Shastra and take a decision to change one's course of life. Then one can be a Vaishnava. Then one can be a Brahmana. A Brahmana is a very great thing from the material point of view. From the Vaishnava point of view, it's not at all a great thing. Brahmana means just when you start to be sensible, that's all. And start to look around and see everything in this world is completely ridiculous. Why should I be involved in this? Let me cultivate spiritual understanding. Atato Brahma Jignyasa. Let me, even this dharma, going up to the heavenly planets, coming back down again, going up, come up, down, up, down, up, down. Sometimes you slip and fall down into hell. What is this? Atato Brahma Jignyasa. This is the beginning. But one cannot be a Brahmana and at the same time have disco music and intoxication and you can't have the best of both worlds, so to speak. But one who is a Brahmana understand that the best of both worlds means in this world the best thing is to get out of it. There's nothing good to be had here at all. Any indulgence in this world is just any desire for this world that is simply foolishness. So if one is thinking of Krishna, if he's a Vaishnava, if he's cultivating Krishna consciousness, he's automatically more than a Brahmana. But then, in terms of a Varnashram position, if one is not teaching others, studying Shastra very deeply, patan, then he's not a Brahmana. Patan, yajan, dana, pratigra. If he's not engaged fully in the activities of a Brahmana, then he cannot lead the Varnashram institution as a Brahmana. And if someone shows himself to be a Brahmana but is engaged as a Shudra in working for others, then how to establish Varnashram? If everyone's a Brahmana, everyone takes the role of a Brahmana, and then there's no Varnashram. So then Srila Prabhupada's desire for that is undone. So a Brahmana means, within Varnashram means by activities and by qualities and character. But we see that nowadays most vast majority of people born in Brahmana families, they don't care very much for the character of their children. They're just carried away by modern life. They'll send their children to some college, and they have to sign a contract when they put their child in the college, that if my daughter has an abortion while she's at the college, it's not the responsibility of the college. And you sign the contract. So, you know, your daughter's going into a situation where illicit sex is likely. But never mind, they have very good first-class facility abortion clinics, and no one will know anything about it, so what does it matter? What does it matter? You go to hell, your daughter goes to hell. But what do they think about this? I don't know. It's prestige, social position. How can you not send your daughter to the prestigious college? You're in the old mentality which spoiled everything. There's all this propaganda that you have to send your children to the college and they can get a good education so they can get a good job, and only then they can be respectable in society. And people are more interested in being considered respectable by totally degraded people than they are in understanding the message of Shastra about what is the actual purpose of life and the actual goal of life. Srila Prabhupada wanted to establish Varnashram, Gurukul, to save the children from what he called most appropriately the slaughterhouse of the modern educational system. But to take such a stance, it requires that one has to be firmly fixed. The Brahmanas previously, they'd rather have their head chopped off than become a Muslim. But nowadays, we see that most people, rather than even just the gossip of their relatives and neighbors, they can't tolerate that. They'd rather send their children to become totally degraded. And they don't care. I don't know what they think. They must think, well, it's normal, everyone's doing it. This is proper. They are more convinced about what the fools and rascals are saying than about what Srila Prabhupada says and what Narad Muni says. And it may be that even persons who take to our Krishna conscious movement and get initiated, they don't really study Srila Prabhupada's teachings or take them fully seriously. It seems like that to me, because they're mostly, they're not very interested in saving their children from this slaughterhouse situation. So it seems to me it may be like some piety. People want the best of both worlds. They want to have their children in a respectable situation in modern life, but not too bad. But then each generation's definition of what is acceptable goes down a big notch. So you want to remain respectable according to modern, the dictates of the materialistic society. Every generation going down, 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 down. So therefore it's best to stick to Shastra. Srila Prabhupada wanted to pull up the whole society. It's gone down, down. Srila Prabhupada wanted to pull it right up to the proper standard. That is possible by Krishna consciousness, but it requires conviction, dedication. It's not just automatic that if we have Srila Prabhupada's books in our homes and we read them and we accept them 95%, then that's everything okay. But it has to be 100%. Otherwise, if we just make some little adjustment, then we can just fit in nicely with modern life also. But fitting in with modern life means that we're in trouble. This idea, if we just tell people that you have a good job and a good education and a good career and you also chant Hare Krishna, and your career is your devotional service. So you can, and it's wonderful. You see, I can be materialistic, and I'm not really materialistic because it's my devotional service. I'm slogging for some shudras and trying to get ahead in my career and make lots of money. But it's my devotional service. I'm doing it because if I do that, then other people, I don't know how, but they're supposed to be also attracted to Krishna consciousness by your doing so. So if we just allow people to indulge in their lower than Shudra tendencies and at the same time chant Hare Krishna, be very good for preaching. And the result is there. So many people are coming. So many people are coming, but where are they going? Are they going back to Godhead by cultivating material desires? One cannot go back to Godhead by breaking the parampara, by preaching that which is against Shastra. That one can cultivate material desire and at the same time become perfect in Krishna consciousness. Varnashram is a concession for those who are not niskinchan. Those who are not Krishnaika Sharan. Those who are not fully surrendered to Krishna. But then it should be pointed out. It should be made clear. There is one reason for making it for Varnashram is to have Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, Brahmacharya, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, Sannyas, all these things. To make it clear that these are devotees and others who are acting in Krishna consciousness, but who are still on the path to perfection. Not that everybody is automatically on the perfect platform. By delineating the Varnashram system, we recognize that we are on the way, we're within the material sphere, and we are trying to come up to the top level. But if we just say, well, whatever you do, you're a perfect Vaishnava, and that's it. Then, and whatever your material desires are, and you could just call it your devotional service. So this confuses the whole path. One actually has to become renounced from all material desires. That's why yesterday when you gave that, you spoke that poem by Mahatma Prabhu. I thought about that even if someone steals Krishna's money, what is it? I saw in Golok Vrindavan my Sankirtan leader who stole all the money twice, and there was my temple president who was never very nice. Something like that was the poem. But I thought, although the spirit of that poem is nice, that, well, okay, we're just, you just remain in ISKCON and then you go back to Godhead. But actually one has to become free from, if the temple president is not very nice all the time, he's making offenses. And if the Sankirtan leader is regularly stealing the money, then he's making offenses. So one has to actually become purified. It's not just a matter of living in the building with the sign ISKCON, but one actually has to become fully purified. One has to become niskincha. And then one can go back to God. Of course, that's ultimately Krishna's mercy. But the endeavor has to be there to become purified. So, that word is there, niskinchan, that one has no attraction to this material world. There's a very important understanding that we really, that is our goal, that we really have nothing and no one but Krishna. Alright, we may be at a certain stage. We have, the Varnashram system is there so that we can live and act in Krishna consciousness according to our present platform. It is unrealistic to think, and maybe dangerous, to think that we can just automatically give up all material attachments. But that has to be the goal, that we give up all material attachments. So it's proper both to recognize that we have material attachments, and at the same time we're trying to become purified, so that is important. And it's also important not to just whitewash everyone. Everyone is a pure devotee. And then everyone, oh, I'm a pure devotee. Everyone's a pure devotee. And then there's no endeavor to actually come to that platform. So it is a very great shamo dhamma tapasho cham. All these qualities to actually imbibe them. It actually takes a lot of training, a lot of dedication. So it is a great challenge for our movement to establish this varnashram, gurukuls, train children from the youngest age, not to be attached to this nonsense. The whole material situation is nonsense, and especially in the modern age, it's extremely degrading, the whole way of life. So it is a great challenge to establish this. And without deprecating the great endeavor to establish this beautiful temple, it has to be stated that this is one stage. We have a lot more work to do to establish Krishna consciousness widely in society, Varnashram. It's a very, it's a tremendous challenge which all the followers of Srila Prabhupada have to take very seriously, which also includes informing people that there is a better way of life, and showing people that there is a different way of life. You don't have to live like a mudha. You don't have to be part of this soul-killing so-called civilization. So it's a great task, no doubt, which all of us should take very seriously, especially those who have dared to accept Brahminical initiation, and dared to accept the responsibility to be the spiritual leaders of society. We should understand what that means. In the modern context, people, the idea of being a leader is to dominate others and boss them around. Just as we were driving up, I saw an advertisement for some school, and it showed young girls about 10 years old all standing there looking like this. And it says, teaching them to be proud and self-reliant. In other words, teaching them to be the worst jerks, nasty. Instead of being loving mothers, they're being taught how to be nasty and dominate and proud. But leadership in Krishna consciousness is a completely different concept of leadership. Leadership means that they lead by their spiritual qualities. Of course, there is hierarchy within the organization also. But the whole point is Krishna consciousness. I guess that could be the end of any class. The whole point is Krishna consciousness. So I'll finish there. Any questions or comments, please?
Sometimes in the talking, since they are Vaishnavas, how they can be just like Shudras, Vaishyas, how they can be said as the Shudras on a road platform and Vaishnavas? So is a practicing Vaishnava, how he can...
If someone is a practicing Vaishnava, they should not be thought of as a Shudra. But if we are to establish Varnashram, then Srila Prabhupada said that devotee takes the role. He's not a Shudra, he's not a Brahmana. But he takes the role to show others. Someone may take the position of a Vaishnava, but not... Or they may take the Lakshana, the external signs of a Vaishnava, but not be developed in consciousness. They may retain some lower level of consciousness. That's also possible. But I don't, who's speaking? Because the sound comes from one source. Ah, okay.
You said that being attached to the material world and being purified oneself is not wrong, but it is a challenge to become purified oneself. So, how to overcome that challenge?
How to overcome the challenge? Well, one has to face the challenge, not avoid it. One becomes purified by tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param, by intense absorption in Krishna consciousness.
We have various publications here, and which one is recommended for the beginners and which one is recommended?
What books are recommended for beginners? Well, I wrote about that in a book called A Beginner's Guide to Krishna Consciousness. Which books are recommended? I recommended read some small books first, and then you read Gita and all these other books.
Who are already
study Gita. Generally, we study Gita first, then Bhagavatam, Nectar of Devotion, Chaitanya Charitamrita. You like to read? Yeah, Haripada Prabhu wanted to say something.
From around 74 until Prabhupada departed, he was speaking very...
Oh yeah, if you don't mind, I think I'll just underline this point, because it is something which Srila Prabhupada's disciples know very well, but I think nowadays devotees don't know. Actually, even before Prabhupada came to the West, he was writing about the need for Varnashram. But he especially emphasized it from 1974 on.
He said something like 50% of my work.
50% of my work, he said.
This is what was not done, Varnashram.
Varnashram, yeah.
So he was having a hard time speaking with his disciples, even in 1977, after 3 years of speaking about establishing Varnashram colleges and all the schools. They were asking him, but Srila Prabhupada, who will go to those colleges? And he said, the devotees will. And they said, well, the devotees are Vaishnavas, meaning they're beyond Varnashram. And Prabhupada said, Vaishnava is not a cheap thing. Why they are calling that?
Yeah. That's very important, because that's a reply to that. Devotee said that, well, Vaishnava is already a Brahmana, and said, then why are they falling down? If they're actually a Brahmana, then why do they fall down?
Prabhupada actually said, I want to establish Varnashram, they will become a Vaishnava.
Mm.
In that conversation in February 77,
yeah.
So that they will become a Vaishnava.
Yeah.
Maharaj, from Prabhupada's audios and his books, we find the
Actually, let's qualify that. We find emphasis on Krishna consciousness. And we also find the importance of varnashram in practical organization of society. That's also emphasized. But the emphasis, the first point is Krishna consciousness. We must keep that in mind. But we shouldn't reject or out of hand varnashram because the ultimate goal is Krishna consciousness. We should understand the relation of the two.
But I heard devotees say that it's not clear what Prabhupada wanted on varnashram. So in such cases, how do you explain it? They say that it's not clear what Prabhupada wanted, nobody knows.
What Srila Prabhupada wanted, no one knows. I disagree with that. It's quite clear what Srila Prabhupada wanted, but how to get there seems to be the difficulty that we have. How to get there? Well, the beginning is talking about it. Shravan Manan Nididhyasana. First we talk about it, then we think about it, then we do it. Thinking, feeling, willing. So, I'm good at talking, they tell me. Not so good at doing anything. But then others are also doing something. Practical.
I want to ask some questions. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has completely disregarded the varnashram system.
You just stated that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has completely disregarded the varnashram system. On what basis do you state that? He accepted sannyas. Is that part of varnashram? He got married, he took accepted sannyas. It's all within the varnashram system.
He has not said that it's not for the devotees of Krishna consciousness, but
well, I did discuss this within the class briefly. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had said eho bhajya. That is external to the position of being a niskinchan krishnaika sharan vaishnava. Actually I discussed this in the class. If you had been listening, you would have got that point. That it is discussed within Shastra as being required for persons who are not on the fully perfect platform. If you like, you can get a recording of the class and listen to it again. If you didn't get the point. And a few days ago I also spoke on this, about this very topic, that devotees protest that varnashram is not meant for Vaishnavas. I spoke about that at length, if you want to get a recording of that.
Actually, if you see it in today's world, those who are into earning money.
Who's not into earning money? In today's world, who's into earning money? Who's not? Who's not thinking? Who's not into earning money? Pretty much everyone's into it. There are still some places in the world where people don't use money. You can't imagine life without money. No money. Because if you live in a rural setting, in a village where you produce all your needs, then you don't need money. Many people, there's still a place in the world where people don't use money. They don't earn money. Used to be like that right here in the spot we are not so long ago. Not very long ago, this was an agricultural area where people lived without using money. Now you can't imagine. We can't imagine life without money. But you know what? You can't eat rupees. Plastic money. And then most money is just imaginary money. Yeah, virtual money.
The situation is not so conducive for practicing devotional service.
The situation is not conducive for practicing devotional service. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada wanted to establish varnashram. To make a situation that is conducive.
But how the devotee is working and how they can... Is it possible for them to...
Is it possible for devotees who are part of the rat race to be Krishna conscious? Not impossible. But it is difficult because there's one quote from Srila Prabhupada that modern civilization is based on working extremely hard. So you have to work very hard, long hours, in association with non-devotees who have, at best, they're not Krishna conscious. In many cases, they're very degraded also. To make advancement in Krishna consciousness, one has to have good association. One also requires time to perform sadhana. It's not just a matter of having some machine and going like this, sitting in the bus. It's better to put time aside every day. Rise early every morning. Have Mangal Arati. Have class. Not just once a week. Even there are hundreds of devotees in Chennai. Hardly of them, even once a week, they're not even coming. So, Sangat Sanjayate Kamaha. We develop desire by association. If we're associated with materialistic people and we don't have time for sadhana, it's going to be very difficult to make advancement. So Srila Prabhupada wanted to establish these communities. Recently we have some fledgling, very beginning type of community in Salem district. So one of the devotees there said, well, you know, now I'm here and I have this problem and that problem, and it's definitely not as comfortable in some ways as life in the city. But I said to him, yeah, but when you're in the city, you didn't get up early every morning. You didn't have Mangal Arati with devotees every morning. You didn't have a dedicated japa period every morning. You didn't have class. You were living with non-devotees. So for your spiritual life, it's much better. And then he understood. Which is the reason he went there in the first place. But he was thinking, oh, I see. This problem, that. Yeah? That the little convenience you have in the city, for that you have to spoil your whole life. Even to get that, you have a convenience in your home, but you only have enough time at home to go there, eat, and sleep, and that's all. No time to eat in many cases also. That's also, who is that you told me, was it, that in your job, or who is that told me that they put you on some project, some software project? You told me before you joined full time, and your boss said, there's no need to go home.
Yeah.
When you're hungry, we'll bring you some food. When you're tired, you're not supposed to get tired, but you can sleep here. And then there's no need to go. You just stay here and you eat, sleep, and work. That's all. That's what they expect. You told me that, wasn't it?
He was planning to provide restroom for stocks so that in future they can.
Why? Yeah. You're not married. What are you going to go home for? Yeah? Huh? Happened in your case. Well, you're not the only one. Yeah, just stay in the office and work, 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 work. And when you get a nervous breakdown, then you can, whatever money you earned, if you have any left over, you can put it all into going to these mental hospitals. It's a great business. It's a great business burgeoning outside Bangalore. And then someone else, they'll come in and work like a slave. They get all these kids straight out of the colleges. They pay them next to nothing. And they squeeze every drop of blood out of them, throw them out. And then they bring in some more people. And you're laughing, but it's not really very funny. People are there, they're really suffering. And then they encourage them, go to the bars, have sex, all these things. Because in that way, they won't think. If they If they let them out once a week, like they let the dogs out of the house once a day to do their poop and everything. So they let them out once a week. Okay, you can go to the bar, have some sex and all this. They encourage that. So that they don't think in a sober way. So it's really demoniac, this civilization. And these people are called the great heroes of modern India who are developing the country. It's completely demoniac. And social respectability is judged like, oh, my daughter's a software engineer in Bangalore. It means she's having illicit sex and drinking and smoking. And oh, very good, very good. Hardware inside. That's it. Yeah. They want that, yeah. So it's really not funny what's going on. All right, so?
We have India's 60% villages.
India is now 60% villages. It used to be much more. Yeah, that was Srila Prabhupada's. Yeah, that was Srila Prabhupada wanted that also. But nowadays the people in the village are in the same consciousness as in the city. Earn money, that's all. Earn money and enjoy sense gratification.
Even if they have a very small little mud house with a thatched roof, they have a
TV. That's all by the grace of Karuna Nidhi in Tamil Nadu. He gave everyone a TV and then he had his own TV channel to indoctrinate them all. Yeah, I just said that. Hare Krishna.